This is a CBC podcast.
Connect online with book lovers around the world to meet, chat, and share your ideas. Join host Hannah Sung at cbc.ca/bookclub.
Welcome to the North by Northwest podcast for July the 3rd, a Saturday. And on the podcast today, lots of music. You're going to meet Boris Fev. He's a musician and a pipe maker, and he has just made the first ever in the world Canadian bagpipes, and we'll hear them. We'll hear the first sound from those pipes. Also, we're heading off to Ed Henderson's kitchen. The Henderson family is very well known in British Columbia and beyond for their music making. So we settle down in Ed's kitchen with a gang of great musicians, family and otherwise, including Alex Kuba. First, though, the pipes. And Boris Fev has been involved with music since he was a very young boy. He began piano lessons as a child. He took up classical piano. He plays jazz and world music. For a long time, he was the bass player for the Celtic group Mad Pudding. And these days, he's founded his own trio, performs with other players as well, including the children's entertainer Marnie, and is a teacher, one of the teachers, for example, with the Sarah McLachlan Outreach Program. Well, besides all that, Boris has a studio in his home, and it's not a studio where he only makes music. He also makes instruments there as well, including bagpipes. He's made Irish pipes, he's made Swedish pipes, and he's been able to sell both of them to players around the world. And lately, he's taken on a whole new project. He is making the first ever in the world Canadian pipes.
Well, my latest project is to design a Canadian bagpipe. So actually, that's not the main goal. The main goal was to amalgamate all of my favorite parts of different types of pipes and make it into one, a hybrid.
How many kinds of pipes did you amalgamate?
Well, you know, you'd be surprised how many pipes are out there. The main ones that I've borrowed parts from are the Irish pipes and the Swedish pipes, and possibly the French pipes as well. They all have their own little, personalities. And
how are they different, those three, in ways that you can explain to people who can't see or hear them right now?
First of all, you have to understand what elements, without getting too technical, make up a set of pipes. There's a bag, and there's two ways to feed the air into the bag. One of them is to use a blowpipe and just blow with your mouth. The second option is to strap a set of bellows around your body, your chest, and pump the air into the bag. So one of them's wet, one of them's dry. So right away that affects how the reeds behave.
Okay.
So that's a big element right there. The next thing is the chanter, which comes from the word chanter in French, of course, is the pipe that plays the melody. There's two main designs on those. One of them is a straight bore, and the other one is more of a conical bore. So those two have completely different sounds, and they behave differently as well. There's the size of the bore, so the wider the bore it is, the louder the instrument is, the narrower it is, the quieter it is. So you can actually control the volume that you're working with. So that's another consideration. There's the number of drones that you use, because bagpipes all have drones. They just hold a note. So if you want more of a bassy instrument, then you go for a big bass drone. If you want a higher pitched instrument, then you go for a tenor drone or a higher pitched drone. So that's another element. And one last important consideration is the reed itself, because there's two designs of reeds. There's one which is called a single reed, where a single tongue, a flap, hits back and forth. And there's a double reed, which is what you'd see with the oboe, for example, which is two pieces of wood slapping together. So all those variables, you can really play around with that. So Irish pipes have a conical bore. They're driven by bellows. They have three drones. Swedish pipes have a single reed, a cylindrical bore, a narrow bore, and they're air blown. So there you go. Right there is two completely different sets of bagpipes.
I'd love to know how you came to know so much about pipes.
I've played for many years, the good part of 10 years with a Celtic band, and we went traveling all over the place, and I got a chance to see so many different instruments. And one of the ones that really stood out were the Irish pipes, otherwise known as the Illan pipes. And I decided to go and buy a set, but it's a very difficult thing to come by because they're all handmade by artisans. You know, there's no factory that makes these things. So to source out a set, you always have to buy secondhand from someone you know, and they're quite expensive. If you go on the used market, like eBay or something like that, there's a bidding frenzy to buy these things. So they drive up in the several thousands of dollars. You know, it gets so expensive. So I decided to just buy the tools instead. Whether that was a wise choice or not, I don't know. But I bought the tools, and you know, long and behold, 6 years later, I've now got everything I need to make whatever I want. So that's how I got into it.
So the pipe. What were you playing before with Mad Pudding?
With Mad Pudding, I was playing bass, but my main instrument that I did all my studies in is piano.
So pipes was a whole other avenue altogether musically.
Totally different. But, you know, in music, I think it's like that with the market and anything like that. Diversification is really the key to survive in this profession. And it makes it so much more fun to see what's happening at the other end of the stage, you know. So just because I'm a piano player doesn't mean I shouldn't know what the bass player is doing or the drummer. You know, it all helps to build a bigger picture. And actually, my piano playing has improved a lot from having played bass. And I think the pipes with the breathing and the whole, you know, the way you can scoop notes and things like that, it's really helping me play more lyrically at the piano as well.
This is the North by Northwest podcast, and my guest is Boris Fev, musician and pipe maker and maker of the Canadian pipes. So then, Boris, what was it like when you finally, after the 2 years, had that first set of pipes? What was it like to play those?
It was really fun. It was really fun, actually. You know, I started to make a couple of sets, and as they got better, I started selling them. That felt really good as well, you know. And now I'm able to listen to what some of the customers request, and that's helped me to also design my Canadian pipes because, you know, for example, certain finger holes caused cramps, even though that's a traditional design, you know. So, you know, I took some measures to move the holes around and add keys in place of one thing or another. Reeds are always such a problem to tweak, you know, because they're so moody. So I found a way to make that a little easier to control. So now I feel even better about it now because I found an even better solution than what I had after the 2 years.
So you were talking about plans before, but with the Canadian pipes, you've developed your own plan.
Yeah, I had to start somewhere. So my goal was to make the instrument versatile, but to make it very user-friendly because pipes are frustrating as hell. and so I really took a lot of measures to make the reed easy to control, easy to make. I made it so that it didn't feel cramped, you know, as much as possible. But they are loosely derived from the Swedish pipes.
Well, Boris, could you please introduce us to these pipes of yours, these Canadian pipes?
Okay, will do. Now, you do realize they're freshly out of the shop, and I haven't exactly worked on these, practicing them, so to speak. So
they are beautiful. What is the dark wood?
The dark wood is African black wood, which is the one you see with clarinets and oboes because it handles moisture very well.
Okay.
It also machines very well. And the light wood on here is Castella boxwood, which is from Argentina. I really should be using Canadian woods, though. I think the next model will be maple and, I don't know, dogwood or something like that.
Right. And so you've got one pipe that you've kind of cradled in your arm here, and you've got another, the chanter, and the blowpipe.
Right. So the drone here is a long drone, so it gives you a lower pitch.
That's the one cradled in your arm.
That's the one cradled in my arm. And the blowpipe, which is mouth blown, so I just blow into the blowpipe here to fill up the bag, and then the one chanter, so it just has three pipes sticking out of the bag.
And you've got a lovely sort of a blue suede bag on it.
Yeah, the bag is a leather. It's not a bladder. A lot of people ask me, is that bladder that you use for the bag? But no, it's leather. It has a special tanning process called chrome tanning. And what the chrome tanning does is it blocks the pores a bit and it makes it airtight.
Okay, so what do you have to do now first? You have to blow her up, do you?
I'll blow her up and then we'll see what happens.
Okay.
So I had a little moment there where the reed locked.
That's what happened there. So that's inside, something locked up inside.
Yeah, so the reeds, it's a tongue that's cut off of a piece of cane. It looks a lot like bamboo.
Oh, yes.
So if you were to take a blade and slice a little tongue, it's like a blade of grass, you know, it buzzes. And so a common thing to do, what happens is it has to be pulled back a bit so that there's a bit of distance between the cane and the tongue that's been cut. And it leaves a little gap. And what happens as there's moisture buildup is that the cane wants to come back to its original shape, which is shut.
Right.
So it's common to put a little hair in between to keep it open.
A hair? A real hair?
A hair. Huh. A chest hair works the best, yeah. And unfortunately, right there, it locked up a bit. So I should have put the hair a little deeper.
Okay, so this is just still the fine-tuning.
It's a little technical thing. But
they sound lovely.
Well, thank you.
So how do you feel about this set?
I'm quite happy. Another thing I should mention that I was trying to accomplish was to make them quiet.
Yes.
Because bagpipes are notoriously loud and no one can ever practice them anywhere, you know?
No, and these, like, I was standing right beside you with the microphone and I was watching my levels and it wasn't being overwhelmed at all.
That's good. That's what I was trying to accomplish. So, so I've got a narrow bore here, nice and quiet, and that's really what I was after, so I'm quite happy.
They have a lovely tone too, a lovely voice.
Yeah, thank you. I think the low drone helps too because it really grounds the sound.
Well, how exciting. Canadian pipes.
Canadian pipes. This is the first prototype, so there's still a ways to go. I'm planning on adding a whole other item to it that's going to make it completely...
A wheel or what?
Well, no, it's going to be a giant cylinder that's going to have several bores inside it, and it'll have a couple drones, but I'm going to put keys on those, so it'll allow you to play chords as well.
Oh, for heaven's sakes.
So you'll have the drones, which is like the bass, the chords, and then the chanter. So it sounds like playing piano.
Are there other pipes that have chord playing capability like that?
The Irish pipes do. The thing with the Irish pipes, though, is there's three drones and there's these three extra things called regulators, which are another three pipes. That's six pipes and the chanter. So that takes an enormous amount of air to pump that because you have seven reeds to activate.
Oh,
so the bag deflates quite quickly and it's quite a workout. I'd like to simplify that a bit, make it, you know, a little easier. So less pipes and I'll still be able to get the chords out. Yeah.
So have you used these on stage yet, Boris?
No, I mean, they literally, I just fit a reed to them last week.
Oh,
so
they're that
I haven't even had a chance to practice them. So.
Oh, my heavens.
Yeah.
So this is like a real sneak preview.
It's very new.
Hot off the press, as it were.
Hot off the press, absolutely.
Well, they're beautiful to look at, too. They're like a work of art.
Well, I think that's part of what makes you want to play an instrument, too. You know, if you look at a violin, the contour and saxophone, it's just as much of a visual thing as it is an auditory travel, you know.
Right.
And I think it's very important to have a very beautiful instrument. It makes you want to play it more, touch it. And
exactly, yes. Boris, thank you so much for your time, and thank you for introducing us to these wonderful Canadian pipes.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That is Boris Favre. He's a musician and a pipe maker based in Vancouver. You'll find a link to his website on the North by Northwest site at cbc.ca/nxnw.